Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name's Marcus Speller.
My name's Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm sometimes known as Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, one and all. Lovely to have you with us at the start of the working week. I have to remind myself what day it is on all these days that merge together, because we're still at home, of course. How are we doing, gentlemen? Everybody having a lovely old time?
Having a time.
Getting a bit samey now, isn't it?
Oh, we've got a lot to get stuck into today, Jim, haven't we?
Oh, good.
I've been trying my very best to get hold of some free electronics from Toby Alderweireld.
Alderweireld,
because he's been doing some great work with nursing homes and the NHS, supplying tablets to all the people there. So I'm just saying, free tablets up for grabs. All right.
Yeah, Pete, I don't think when there's a list of people who desperately need extra electronic equipment, I think you're going to be fairly near the bottom of the list there, mate.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, he is part internet, so...
You should get him automatically.
Maybe that will go in his favour. Exactly, yeah.
I recalled the football ramble. I'm a key worker.
I think the reason Pete's upset about it, or he's mentioned it, is because he thought of himself as the electronic Robin Hood of our times.
Yeah,
Toby's covered with far bigger resources has stolen his thunder.
Indeed. Yeah. But without further ado, Pete Donaldson, you've got something to announce.
I have, yes. A Patreon competition. We ran a Patreon competition. Basically, we had a signed Paul Gascoigne shirt to give away in like a lovely frame. And we've got a winner. For every person who signed up to the Patreon since we started, you guys all went into a big draw. And the person who won was Frederick Coulton. Congratulations to Frederick Coulton. He won the signed Gazza shirt, so well done to him. And there'll be more prizes coming up very, very soon indeed. He actually wasn't the first winner of that shirt. There was a guy called Rory who I rang up yesterday. If you do sign up for the Patreon, you may very well get a call from me. That might be a good thing or a bad thing, you don't know. But I rang him up and he basically said, look, I'm really glad that I'm signed up to the Patreon. I only signed up on Wednesday and I'm really, really lucky. I know this. But if you can find someone else who actually wants an England shirt, because I am an Irishman, feel free to re-gift it. So thank you very much to Rory.
I just said, no, you can have it. I'm making you have it.
No, thank you very much to Rory for handing it off. So we did another draw and Frederick Coulton came out of the draw. So
Go on, well done, man.
And there'll be more prizes very soon. So head on over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily.
And we must say really big thanks to icons.com for donating that prize. Really generous of them. Thank you very much. Check those guys out as well. They've always been big supporters of Football Ramble Daily and we thank them for it. Congratulations to Frederick.
Yeah. Freddie C's won it again.
Freddie C, up in the building.
That's wonderful. Well done, everybody.
We should probably make it clear that when Pete says you might get a call from me, that it's not like some sort of chat roulette style thing where at any time he could call you for no reason. There will have to be a reason.
Jim, let's just see how long this lockdown goes for. That's all I'm going to say.
Who's the president who used to just pop on the radio and do like a four-hour radio show?
Oh, Chavez.
Yeah. Yeah, Venezuela.
Suddenly Chavez.
Yeah.
It's not got much better over there, has it?
Well, it's not better anywhere, is it, at the moment, Peter? But anyway, let's... Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, UEFA president Alexander Seferin has said that the European football season will probably be lost if it doesn't restart by the end of June at the latest. Oh, the clock is ticking. Here we go.
I like the way that Alexander did this because the way he said it and the way it's been phrased made me feel a bit like he was going, oh God, this is so boring, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, totally.
Can we just forget about all this? Because I'm bored of this now and I haven't had a slap up dinner in about 2 months. Ridiculous.
I find that hard to believe for a UEFA president, even in lockdown. I'm sure the staff are still working around.
I imagine he's managed to organise himself key worker status somehow. Yeah.
Oh, there'll be an amazing kind of high level landed classes version of Deliveroo.
Yeah.
Fabergé eggs.
Most certainly run by Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. Fabergé eggs are not food though, Peter. That should be pointed out.
Don't eat them.
Jim, have you ever tried to crack open a... Have you tried to track crap up, crap open? Have you ever tried to crack open a Fabergé egg? No. We don't know what's inside them.
I haven't. No, you might be right. You're absolutely right, Pete. I've misspoken there. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm back in your lane, Jimmy. According to the Sunday Times, UEFA are drawing up plans to finish the season in August and have shortened competitions next season in order to minimise the effects of what's going on, of course. But I think this is quite the most interesting idea that I've read or heard so far. So our friend and brother Miguel Delaney, who's appeared on the Continent before, chief writer for The Independent, wrote in that very publication that the Premier League has developed plans for clubs to play televised games in isolated, as they put it, World Cup-style camps in the Midlands and London over June and July in order to finish the season. And the broadcasting contracts are obviously very big and they're a huge consideration when deciding on what to do. But this kind of World Cup-style camps idea would be, as Miguel describes it, a TV mega event. And so the Independent has been told that the plans have been drawn up to televise all remaining 92 matches with a handful on every day over the summer months. So the clubs would be confined to separate hotels away from their families with full testing and quarantine kits, blah, 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 blah. There's chat of training ground pitches being used instead of stadiums. But this is an idea on how to finish the season. And I do think they will play games behind closed doors. But someone just basically said World Cup star, and I thought, I'm in. I'm bloody in.
Can England enter a team?
it increases Sven's chance of managing back here again. That's all I'm saying.
The Argentinians cooking like loads of amazing meat on a big barbecue. Sure. But I think it will come to the point where, I mean, you're seeing it in Italy already. The effects of the lockdown are they're becoming public order situations. You know, people are getting a bit hacked off about being behind, you know, having to sit in their houses, and the healing effect of watching football might kind of keep people behind our own closed doors to a certain extent. But I'm all for exploring those options if it's going to help the UK in a whole as a whole. Yeah.
World Cup style is quite a bold description of games played on training pitches with no crowds, isn't it?
Well, I think the camps is the World Cup style camps.
I don't think you should be rolling the phrase World Cup in there, Marcus, is what I'm
not
saying.
Willy nilly.
I think that you've got to get people excited somehow, Jim, and I think they've done very well to do that.
Marcus, unless there's a big-nosed man patrolling the touchline in a waistcoat, it's not World Cup as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's fair.
What I think is key here is that it's becoming clear that the footballing powers that be. Now, I think it might say 14 teams in the Premier League need to sign up to this to get it ratified for it to be a Premier League initiative, which obviously doesn't even get anywhere near solving the situation with the Football League at the moment. But anyway, that's by the by. But I think what I was going to say was, what's crucial here is that they're starting to think about really creative ways of trying to complete the season if they can. And that's going to be really important because, as we said when this all started, there is no perfect solution here. It's not going to be fair to everyone all the time. Every single solution that's mooted is going to have some kind of drawback to it. I mean, Harry Kane's quotes I think he did a Instagram live with someone yesterday or the day before. His quotes were really interesting as well, and they were quite different to this. So everyone's going to have their own idea on how it's going to be sorted. But none of them are going to be perfect. My fear with this idea about behind closed doors and that in a tournament style thing is just that there's a lot of other staff that need to be found to make that possible, from the broadcasting side, the security side, and it's not a coincidence, of course, that there are no public events happening at the moment, and there won't be in the near future. So how ambitious this is probably key here, and whether it's possible or not, I mean, it still remains to be seen. But it's an interesting creative solution, and we need those at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the point has been made, isn't it, about this proposal that obviously these camps need to effectively be on lockdown themselves, but a single case of coronavirus within them from anyone undoes the whole thing. So perhaps it's not workable. But as you say, people are just kind of looking around to try and come up with solutions because this is such a unique and odd situation. And I feel like people are just coming up with new stuff every day and disregarding what's already been decided. Like, because the Premier League seemed fairly forceful a little while ago that they would finish the season no matter what. And now we're hearing a lot of different things come out that say, oh, actually, maybe not. I think people are just, this is a unique event in our history, isn't it? In terms of, certainly, you know, in terms of this generation of the living. So people don't know how to react. And it's football, I suppose, is a microcosm of that. And we're seeing people kind of flapping around a little bit.
Well, of course, yeah. But I like the idea that if training ground pitches are used, you've got, I don't know, you know, Manchester United v Chelsea playing, and then on the sidelines, you've got the next team waiting to come on.
Like a summer seven-a-side tournament at Sunday League.
Yeah, yeah, I like the idea that they sort of go off and, like, you know, some of the players are unlucky, lads, well done. Right, next lot on.
And that goal doesn't count because a ball from the Aston Villa Man United game came onto the pitch, and so the referee had to stop the game.
Yeah, I think that everyone is desperate for the league to finish in some way or another. And even if it finishes with teams lining up on training ground pitches, which will be a far cry from what the season...
Oh, there's nothing pathetic about that, is there? That won't be a pathetic anticlimax of the world's most popular football league, will it?
Exactly, yeah. People are so desperate for it to finish because the idea of it being sort of null and void is so horrible and so offensive to so many people, and I understand why. But I think that games will have to be played behind closed doors. I don't think there's any two ways about that. No. I've thought that the whole way through. Otherwise, you get to August, September, when hopefully things will have at least in part returned to normal. And then what do you do? We'll finish the season in November and then we can blah, blah, blah. And then you're carrying on for so long. I think it's you either do something creative like this or behind closed doors, which has loads of problems in itself, or you have to sort of null and void it. That's
guys, can I chuck something out there, which I think is the most sensible thing I can think of doing, and we touched on it a week or so ago, is that we elongate this season so it's effectively across two seasons. So what you can do is you can stretch out the remaining Premier League games. You don't have to play all 10 games across a weekend like we do normally. You can stretch it out the same way they did sort of with that winter break, that Ersatz winter break we had, and you stretch it out across next season. So you have one season across two. Everyone gets to be a little bit more rested and recuperated ahead of a tournament in the summer. Crucially, people don't feel like their season ticket money or the broadcaster money's gone to waste. On the radio show I do on Fridays, we had a guy on, a good friend of mine, I think I mentioned him before, who manages a non-league team, and he came on the radio show, and he made a couple of really, really interesting points. One of which was, well, I'll tell you what then, why haven't the FA come back to us and told us what's happening with the fines we've had to pay for bookings and for sendings off and stuff like that? What's happening with that? You can't have it both ways. If the season's now null and void, give us our money back. We all work full time. Yeah. When are our fines coming back? The point being that if you apply that across the footballing spectrum, if you elongate it out over a couple of seasons, and I know this is easier said than done, but you bump the broadcasting rights deal for an extra year if people want to get their value then, you also get into that situation where we start building up anticipation for the football again, and we're not seeing football every single night, which to me, as a lifelong passionate football fan, it's cheapened it. It's cheapened the whole thing because there's no anticipation, there's no build-up. It's just endless, relentless football. If you can do that, I think that would solve quite a lot of problems, particularly pertaining to the summer tournaments when players always look knackered anyway.
Yeah, and also with the FA Cup in particular, there was apparently rumours that they would go with the team who've scored the most goals, which is Newcastle United, of course.
Wow.
Jonathan Wilson will be fuming about that for about 14 different reasons.
because they had two replays against lower league opposition.
Yep.
Imagine winning the cup like that.
Give them the cup.
Yeah. They would take it because that means Mike Ashley will be gone.
Steve Bruce is just innovating at the moment. I'll tell you something. You give Celtic the league, you give Newcastle the FA Cup. You can't give Liverpool the Premier League. That would be ridiculous.
No, that's too much.
However, Ilkay Gundogan, Manchester City player, of course, said that if Liverpool were handed the title, he'd be okay with it. He says it's the sporting thing to do. Pep's thinking, shut up, mate.
Yes, it's not passing it back to the keeper, is it? I mean, it's not a player down, pass it back to the keeper, just toss it off and let Liverpool win it.
Just toss
and relegate
it off.
Villa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I think City players should be giving it the big one at the moment, saying, you know, we really felt like we could haul them in. You know, it was just a matter of time.
Still the champions, we know what we are. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, have you seen, according to reports, that a group of Premier League clubs have got together to make sure Man City's Champions League ban is upheld with the club's appeal still ongoing? So whatever happens next season, they're saying, we don't want Manchester City in the Champions League.
Yeah,
because Manchester City, due to the current situation, they could ask if they could compete in the Champions League next season, because the appeal that they have put through might not be heard until kind of late summer or whenever. So Man City saying they might well turn around and say, come on, let us in, crying out loud, can we not sort this out another time? And apparently every team in the top half of the Premier League, apart from Sheffield United, are involved in a campaign to stop them playing in the Champions League next season. I absolutely love it. But Man City reportedly believe that they think they know who the culprits are that started the campaign, and it's none other, according to Manchester City, Arsenal Football Club.
Of course it is, right? Because if we are in a situation where this season is declared null and void for whatever reason, presumably the Champions League spots would then go back to where everyone finished last season, and Arsenal finished fifth. So if you take Man City out of it, in we go. I'm all for it. I am all for it.
Arteta's suddenly flipped.
Yeah, Emery comes back. He's like, what were you worried about?
Alexander Seferin's phone just ringing off the hook with people at Arsenal. You're not taking your off the ball with this Man City thing, are you? I know you've got other, you've got bigger fish to fry at the moment, but this is important.
Oh, bloody hell, yeah. I love that Sheffield United aren't involved. Did you just think, oh, yeah, you're... I don't know. I don't know why they've been overlooked, but or maybe they didn't want to join in, but everyone else seems quite adamant. It'd be quite unfair on Leicester City if they're not in the Champions League next season. But then, of course, it'd be unfair if Liverpool aren't champions. We've gone through this before, ladies
There's
and gentlemen.
There's no fair solution to this.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, uphold that ban. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we think. Football is carrying on, though, in Belarus. Have you seen this, gentlemen? At a time when all other leagues around the continent have stopped, the Belarusian league is carrying on, which is getting them quite a worldwide audience. Apparently, the league is being broadcast in 10 different countries now, including Russia, India and Israel, because everyone's just wanting any kind of football. And you'd think they would stop because of the coronavirus, but then the president of Belarus, he's not too worried and told citizens to drink vodka to combat the coronavirus, so they should be
unhelpful,
okay.
That.
Yeah, deeply unhelpful.
I really enjoyed the... there was a quote in that story about Belarus still playing where I think it was the head of the FA there who talked about all this renewed interest in their league and people watching from all over the place. And he said something along the lines of, well, I hope it makes the players try harder.
Yeah, because whichever team it was like they hadn't won many matches. It was like, well, I hope they'd play better if everyone's watching.
Yeah, like they weren't trying before.
They'll step up because there's a bigger audience, yeah. I think that was the coach of Dynamo Minsk.
Because
they
right,
were beaten
yeah.
by FC Minsk in the /A Minsk derby. I don't know if it's the Minsk derby. I'm sure we'll find out as the months go by.
Oh, huge news that Bartek Borisov lost, I think, at home to an also-ran side. Then Bartek Borisov are kind of champions, regulars, but they've appeared in the Champions League. A huge turnover, huge upset.
Is this going to do for Belarusian football what, Channel 4's coverage of Serie A did for Italian football in the 90s.
We can only hope.
Belarusio Italiano.
Get them in there, Minskies. Okay. Well, despite all that's going on, Graham Souness has managed to get a dig in at Paul Pogba in the media.
There we go. Makes me feel a lot more comfortable that the world hasn't completely tilted on its axis.
We need normality at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's got to be quite high up there with people that you wouldn't want to be isolated with, especially once he's getting onto Pogba again. It's like, oh, come on, Graham.
Yeah.
It's the third time today.
How long were they fucking? We've never actually... Has anyone put a date on it? Because it must have been for enough of amount of time for him to be really upset about it, because it's just going on and on.
I think people know that Souness will give them a quote. You can imagine like somebody trying to prod Souness going, what do you think of this? Hang on. What do you think of Paul Pogba? Right, here we go, 5 minutes.
It's like a one-sided Nolan Liam.
It is a bit.
Yeah.
It is.
I've never heard Paul Pogba say anything about Graham Souness ever.
Do you think he's aware of who he is?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
He's taking the high ground.
Who's Graham Souness? Why is he saying those terrible things about me?
Didn't Souness also say that Pogba would be a doddle to play against?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he said Pogba has absolutely everything to be a top player, but his attitude to the game is the polar opposite to mine. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. He believes that he said that he'd be an absolute doddle to play against. Which, I mean, Paul Pogba did win the World Cup.
Yeah.
Apparently, Souness went on to sort of say that if he was a manager, had his time in management all over again, he would not be quite as angry and quite as demanding, because he reckons that, you know, players don't have that winning mentality like what I had, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, and Jamie will know that, like you talked about, Jamie Redknapp will know that more than anyone. And Jamie Redknapp was going, yeah, I mean, you can't just shout at players anymore. Like, really rinse and privileness about, you can't just have a go at him.
I love the idea that Graham Souness thinks that no modern players have that winning mentality. Like, he's implying that no trophies are ever won because no one's got any winning mentality.
Or certainly not deserved.
No. If I had my way, I wouldn't give any trophies to any of them.
Yeah. This situation's ideal for me, really.
Well, they were the best team. I mean, they knocked every other team out and they won the final. Depends which way you look at it. What about their mentality?
No heart.
Yeah.
He did manage Newcastle United, don't forget that.
How could we ever forget that?
Indeed, although apparently they've just won the FA Cup, so maybe that's the winning mentality that they needed. According to reports, Juventus will offer Manchester United Aaron Ramsey as a part of a deal with old Poggers going the other way.
There's no, I mean, there is no football happening. Yeah. Is there?
I love that you're still getting your wicked whispers in, Marcus.
Yeah, lovely one. Yeah. Just make him up. Like no it. One gives a shit. We're fucking through the looking glass now.
Would you like to see Aaron Ramsey in a Man United kit, Jim?
I'd just like to see a kit at this point.
Any human being in a kit.
Enter the Patreon, Jim. You'll win a Gaza shirt.
Oh, dearie me. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go for a quick break, and after which we'll have some emails.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Before we go any further, Luke Moore.
Yes, you may have heard in the early part of the show. In fact, you will have heard if you're still listening, because it's very unlikely you would have started this show halfway through, that we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. You can sign up and support us there. You'll receive loads of extra behind-the-scenes content, bonus episodes, and all that good stuff from as little as $5 a month. Supporting us on Patreon will help us to keep all our shows running through this really difficult period. And of course, we really appreciate your support. Thanks very much indeed to everyone who signed up so far. It's been great to see so many of you on there. So many of you on the Discord, which is like our chat service where you can chat about football with fellow Ramble listeners and with us as well. So come and join. It's a lovely time. It's donate what you can afford. patreon.com/footballrambledaily. There's a tier there for everyone. There's lots of extra content. You'll enjoy it. There's nothing else to do, let's be honest. So head over there now. patreon.com/footballrambledaily.
I streamed a version of Euro 96, the video game based on the popular actual soccer, for a couple of hours. And I lost every match. So that's if you want to see me do that, head on over.
Pete, I saw that was happening, but what actually went down?
I played as England. That was the first match. The first team. I lost every match by at least three or four. It's really difficult playing old video games. They're quite uncompromising.
What did you practice beforehand?
because I'm a game player and I just assumed that my natural talent for video games would see me through. And certainly I used to play that game a lot when I was a kid, the official Euro 96 video game. I spent ages trying to get it working in DOS and ages trying to get it streamable. Got there in the end and I was absolutely terrible. And then I was asking the chat room which team I should take on next. I think I played as the Czech Republic and got my ass handed to me with them as well. So very enjoyable.
I think there's a common denominator here, isn't there?
It did have Barry Davies as commentator. Yes.
Right. Oh, speaking of that, did you guys see the other day someone shared on Twitter the intro VT video to the opening ceremony to the London 2012 Olympics, obviously narrated by Barry Davies. So basically the live TV video insert before the ceremony itself started in the stadium. Mm-hmm. It was a very difficult watch because everything seemed brilliant then.
Yeah, that was the last nice thing.
Yeah, we haven't had any good things since then. And I've been married since then.
Yeah. I don't know, that penalty shooter against Colombia, that was a nice thing.
That was a slither of light.
Yeah.
Among constant
everything
darkness.
Everything was broken by then.
Yeah. Oh, well, talking of slithers of light, it's now time for emails with PTD. You email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. Talking about slivers of bacon, more like. Gavin Hogg has been in touch. Hi, guys. Long time listener, first time emailer. Growing up in Edinburgh, we had a bacon boy come to house every few weeks to deliver. My mum would usually get the door, but I do have memories of him wearing the aforementioned white coat. Maybe it was Marcus himself.
Could have been me.
What year?
He's not given a year, and I hate you for asking.
Marcus, what years did you what years did you serve as a bacon boy?
It would have been early mid 90s.
All right.
Oh wow!
I'm thinking 90. Yeah. Just as it was about to kick off, it was sort of 90. Yeah.
Were you listening? Were you listening to Blur's Pork Life at the time?
Very good.
Cigarettes and alcohol and bacon.
Not as good that one.
Did you have a little Gallagher swagger as you were sort of going down people's driveways? In your little jacket with your little bucket.
Well have been before Oasis. Could have been like 92, 93.
Okay. Right.
Stone Roses. Which is coming in. Bands like Primal Squade. Scream.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyone else who had a bacon round?
Cameron Smith. My best mate at school was the bacon boy.
That's
Evening Ramblers. The chat on Friday's show about Max's bacon round reminded me of my best mate in high school. About 10 years ago, he also had a bacon round in Edinburgh, carrying buckets of bacon. Why buckets? Around the suburbs of the city, asking unsuspecting households to buy bacon off him. Naturally, we used to call him the bacon boy. I don't know how well he did, but it's definitely a thing in Edinburgh. My parents would occasionally buy bacon off him, and when he left for uni, my wee sister's friend got the job. Safe to say, the bacon round was well known in my family. I asked my parents if it still existed at their house, and unfortunately, they did not know. However, I'm sure a bacon round would go down very well in the current climate. Cameron, not a bacon boy, in Edinburgh, sent but from his iPad, apparently. Maybe it's one of Toby's.
You see, if people in Edinburgh, they know what I'm talking about here.
Mm. Yeah, Marcus, none of us ever doubted that you really were a bacon boy.
Yeah, I just didn't know it was a thing.
We just enjoyed it a lot. There was a phenomenon in my hometown, which was effectively a video van. Did any of you had that? A man
yes.
Mulleted, generally, would drive around in a van full of videos.
What's that all about?
Marcus is fuming.
I think that sounds crap.
Jim, we used to have a video van, and we used to have a book van as well.
Right, it was a mobile library, effectively.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That's so, it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, as I call it, the book van.
The book van.
Because I didn't read.
The word van. Yeah. Hello to Charles, who's got in touch. I see your bacon round and raise you a sausage round.
No Ooh. Way.
No. Good afternoon, Ramblers. Further to your discussion on Marcus's bacon round, I wanted to draw your attention to an entrepreneurial person in my local area. He has set up the sausage delivery company to make ends meet during these tough times. There's something sausagey in there, isn't there? Make ends meet, because they do when they're not cut up.
Yeah, that's true.
Apart from the name sounding like it could be the name of some kind of male escort service, I think it's a great idea. Love the show. It's been a source of constant amusement in my life. And despite the complete lack of football, it still feels genuinely relevant. Charles, you're not making it any more relevant, mate.
Charles, it's not supposed to be funny. This is a serious show with serious issues.
Well, he's attached catched a little Facebook message from a man called David Nye in Harpenden. Hi there, David here from the Sausage Delivery Service. We successfully delivered to many Harpenden homes over the week. We've got a new menu of offerings. And there's loads of little, you get a full English, you've got a Churchill, pork and jalapeno. You've got the big smoke, which is a smoked pork shoulder sausage. You can buy a whole frozen duck. Smoked streaky bacon.
Now
getting
you're
in on
talking.
Mark's patch. £4.
A whole frozen duck.
I know, a whole frozen duck. You're going from full English sausages, smoked bacon and black pudding in there, and the big smoke, to a whole frozen duck for £15.
I'd love it if he just kind of let the mask slip a bit. At the end, he just went, and a car, a box of Christmas crackers. Are you just selling stuff at your garage?
Some cement.
Gone hard.
Stuart, final email, Stuart Bevan, thank you very much. Hi, Ramble. Marx's recollection of completing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on a plane with a friend and not getting proper in-flight acknowledgement reminded me of an experience of mine in 2009. I don't think I mentioned last week that I actually did that on the way back from my last holiday and won the whole thing. They seem to randomise the quiz questions quite arbitrarily. They don't really sort of they don't make the questions harder as you get deeper into the game, I think. I was flying between Wellington, New Zealand and Sydney in February of that year. Air New Zealand was introducing a new in-flight entertainment system and announced on the flight that the first person who was able to answer the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire dollar question in the presence of a flight attendant would receive a free return ticket from New Zealand to Australia. Oh, lovely old job.
Hang on a minute. In the right. presence of a flight attendant, they're supposed to be working.
Yeah. I'm not buying this whole scenario because if you know that game, it is time sensitive. You have to do it within 30 seconds. You have to do it within a time frame. So to call over a flight attendant when you're on the $1 million question is actually quite difficult, I would say. Mm. Now, being from the Mr. Spocker's half-human, half-Vulcan school of semi-pro pub quiz competitor, I set about my work with a rare focus. After several attempts, I got up to the $1 million question, called over the attendant, and got the question wrong. Something insignificant about Joseph Priestley in the year he discovered oxygen from memory. The attendant, with surprising quickness, got on the PA and told the flight that someone had got to the $1 million question but hadn't succeeded. A soft murmur in the plane indicated that many people were relieved and might be playing hard. Crestfallen and embarrassed but aware that I was still having a chance, I went back to work and after several more attempts made it back up to the $1 million question. I nervously requested the presence of the attendant again and in her presence, hand trembling, clicked the button for the final question. Now, bearing in mind that this is an Antipodean question, the final question went as follows. What team was Manchester United's Eric Cantona playing when he did his infamous kung fu kick in 1995? I can confirm that successfully completing the game meant that with an in-flight announcement, in contrast to Marcus's situation, however, not from the flight captain, but from the chief purser who pointed out my name and my seat. Cue subdued applause and a nice handshake from the person seated next to me. Strangely enough, there are a lot of... Strangely enough, there are a lot of conditions with the ticket and limited options. As a result, I ended up taking my flight to Australia during that terrifying 2009 swine flu epidemic, and I spent a couple of days in self-isolation upon my return to New Zealand. Thanks for continuing the podcast and the contents. Cheers, Stu. Thank you for your email, Stuart.
Part of me thinks none of that is true, but the other part of me thinks, what sort of human being would make that up?
Would write that, I know.
So congratulations.
Well done, Stewie.
Congratulations, fella.
Any more for any more, Peter?
No, I said that was the final one, Mark. You should have been listening.
I should have been listening. You're absolutely right, Peter.
Yes! I've got one over the host in my own room, in the old booth.
In the old show box.
I haven't finished my sentence. Not. all right.
Bit of Loro.
Yeah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Pete's Film Club.
Monday Madness. Crank it up. This is where it's at.
Pete's Film Club.
Yes, it's time for Pete's Film Club. Last week was the incredible film Goal with Kuno Becker starring as a Newcastle United footballer. This week, we've gone for a film. Oh, good Lord. Playing for Keeps, people, a film I saw on holiday in Portugal last year, and I thought I'd bring it to the table as part of this week's film club. A former sports star, Gerard Butler, starts coaching his son's soccer team as a way to get his life together. His attempts are met with challenges from the attractive soccer moms who pursue him at every turn. It's basically a film in which everyone wants to fuck Gerard Butler. Yeah.
And some of them succeed.
Most of them succeed.
Yeah.
It's... Should we have a listen to what it's actually like before we completely eviscerate it?
Yes.
Well, here it is.
Who's the new soccer coach?
Stacey's ex, the soccer player.
You were a great, great player.
Dreyer with a shot. Goal!
So what are you doing with your time now, post-soccer?
This is your credit card company. If George Dreyer is no longer at this number, press 1. If George Dreyer is deceased, press 2.
You ever think what it might have been like if I had screwed all up?
All the time, I wondered. You were the most exciting thing that ever happened to me, George.
Are you sad Mom's getting married?
Yeah, but Mike seems like a nice guy.
I've decided I'm not going to call him Dad.
ESPN are looking to expand their soccer coverage.
I got that audition as a sportscaster.
Dad, please don't leave.
Let's go out there and give it everything we've got. Let's get these white girls!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Hey, Dad, me and Mom were going to the arcade today. You want to come?
ESPN liked you. You did it, George.
I just can't. I got a boy in here who needs me to start being a father. I'm either too early or I'm too late. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be too late again.
It's something else. It really is. I mean... Gerard Butler does have a production credit on this one, and I can't help but think that he very much had a lot to say it came to how many women he was going to bed in this film.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. It's like he's just listed, you know, his dream list of women, and they've done the best they can. Because it's a surprisingly good cast for that sort of film. Like, Uma Thurman's in it.
The cast is astonishingly good. for what is a communal garden Sunday afternoon TV movie that's been shat out by some out of work director, I could not believe. Yeah. I'll be honest, I had no enthusiasm for this movie. I didn't want to watch it. No. Pete made me watch it. The first couple of minutes, I realised it wasn't even going to be about fucking football, so I didn't watch any of the build up or know who was in it. When people kept popping up, I couldn't fucking believe. It was like going to Madame Tussauds. Like, you recognise the faces, but nothing actually fucking. No one does anything.
Think to yourself, that used to be Catherine Zeta-Jones. That I can't believe there's Catherine Zeta-Jones, Uma Thurman, Dennis Quaid. I mean, Butler's a big actor. I mean, these are people we treat. You know, like I don't understand.
Judy Greer is a very good actor as well. She's excellent. But I mean, the whole situation is sort of pinned around the fact that Gerard Butler has decided he wants to get his life together. He wants to become a sportscaster, but he also wants to get back with his ex-wife, Jessica Biel.
I wanted to find Jessica Biel, rescue her from this, and make sure she never had to do anything like this ever again.
Yeah, I agree.
But Jessica Biel's situation is like she's got a new life. She's looking after her son, who I think was the kid out of Walking Dead.
He's quite good, by the way.
Yeah, he is good. I mean, kid actors are usually quite good, but then when they become grown-up actors, they're not very good, I always think. But Jessica Biel's got a good husband who loves her, who, you know, does all the things that a husband should do. But flash old Gerard Butler, who's just, you know, coaching a couple of kids' soccer teams, manages to sort of pull her away from a perfect, idyllic, normal life. Just because her husband's a little bit boring, she's not having it.
Yeah, because Butler ruined it, didn't he? He wrecked that home. And then he's like, do you know what? I sort of regret wrecking that home.
Yeah.
I'd like to get back to my old home and I'll wreck a few other homes while I'm at it.
I mean, Marcus has got a problem with this guy because he played for Celtic and not Rangers.
100%. 100%.
That's the story.
Completely. Yeah. George Dreyer.
I don't hate Celtic.
Give him a title now.
And to be fair to him, Marcus, I don't think he does wreck any other homes. I think the other homes are pre-wrecked by the people.
He's adding to it, though, Jim.
No, yeah.
He's not, though, is he? Because all of the people that he has dalliances with are single, aside from Uma Thurman, who has a crack at him, and he says no.
So well, don't tell not, people not... what happened, Jim.
People should not watch this movie. Spoilers. I'm going to go as far as to say.
Can I just chime in with a couple of observations? One is the film it reminded me most of was Confessions of a Window Cleaner. he just keeps weirdly getting into situations where he's about to have sex with yet another woman. Yeah. But secondly, there's no way Jessica Biel is going to go back with Gerard Butler, given the absolute state he's in, because if for some reason he's obviously fairly handsome and has got floppy hair. The thing that annoyed me, there's two things that annoyed me more than anything else. Yeah. Right, one is that why would you cast Uma Thurman, who is an excellent actor, right, to just flounce around a big house, do nothing, and then just take her top off in some random bedroom? Right, that's the only thing she does in it, which is absolutely bizarre. Secondly, when he goes on for his ESPN audition, and he goes off piste and just ignores the auto cue, right? In the cheesiest way possible, the director goes, "Oh, welcome to ESPN, George." In reality, I'm not saying I've got a huge amount of experience in TV, but I've done a little bit of it. We all have. In reality, what would have happened there was, well done, Gerard Butler. You fucking missed your break there, mate. So that's the show fucked, right? Now get out of my sight because we're late going to ads. Forget it. That's what would have happened.
Well, what actually happened was Catherine Zeta-Jones had sex with him on the table. Is that not
again,
right?
Oh, yeah. And actually, there is one of the finest lines in all of cinema that precedes that, though, where she's asking what it's like to manage a kids' football team, and is it difficult with the kids? And he says, what about the mums? And he says, I would have to take that on a mum by mum basis, which is fairly smooth in this situation. But also, I find it, even from the off, it's very, very difficult to care about an ex-footballer who ruined his own family life by just sleeping around and didn't look after his finances. He was a footballer in the 90s. So it's not like he would have been like mega rich, but
and
he
the
shouldn't
noughties.
Have just been scrabbling around. And the noughties, exactly. There's a bit of drink driving in there. He has a little bit of drink driving. He lets his son drive a Ferrari, and his son's what, like 10? And he talks on the phone while he drives. He's a very irresponsible driver.
He's a danger to himself. In a film just dripping with misogyny, he is the worst thing about it.
Can I also say, there's an amazing scene in there where, and this happens for absolutely no reason, right? Where the kids' team are about to win the championship. They're about to win their final game of the season. And Gerard Butler, as the coach, as George Dreyer, misses it because Dennis Quaid comes out of nowhere and starts fighting him on the touchline. It is the most bizarre twist.
Dennis Quaid is unbelievable in this film. Like, he's such a slimy businessman, dodgy geezer, and they strike up an unlikely, well, it's quite a likely friendship, I suppose, if you think about the two characters. And then it sort of disappears suddenly, that friendship.
He's in two scenes, that's it.
He wants to fuck him too. Everyone wants to fuck Gerard Butler. That's the situation.
It should be called
everyone wants to fuck Gerard.
Shagging for keeps, it should be called.
That's what it was called in Japan, when they renamed it. The reason for Dennis Quaid attacking him, Luke, it was because he'd hired a private investigator to follow his wife.
Yeah, I remember that bit, but I just don't think it necessarily needed to happen at that point in the film. It's ridiculous. They're not even fighting properly. They just wrestle on the ground in the background.
Much like in the film Goal, why has Sven not got a cameo in this? This is ideal.
It would have been improved right, by obviously. A 2012 vintage Sven in it somehow. I mean, it wouldn't be more bizarre for it, put it that way.
But what about his footballing career? I'm fairly certain that at one point Gerard Butler gives the kid out of The Walking Dead a medal for, like a Euro. I think it's a European Cup medal or a Champions League medal.
I know, I think it's a Scottish champion, Scottish League title medal.
It definitely says European in it.
Do you know something? Before we came on, Luke and I were talking about this, and Luke said that the football scenes in this film are better than some of the football scenes in the film Goal. And I agree with him.
Let me qualify that. What I mean is...
And that was shot from the actual Newcastle matches.
Yeah. the thing is, the film starts with a montage, right? And they've done a pretty good job of superimposing Gerard Butler into them to the point where they do look, I think, more authentic than the Goal ones. And Kuno Becker just doesn't look anywhere near as much of a kind of footballer as Gerard Butler did. But the problem is the entire rest of the film is complete trash. And I genuinely got like when, I mean, I know we're in lockdown, we can't really do anything, but I watched this on a Sunday afternoon and I genuinely got quite angry with Pete. Because I was like, you could have chosen any film, right? And you've chosen this. And I genuinely thought it was like 2 hours. By the way, it's almost 2 fucking hours long as well. It's 2 hours of my life I'm never going to get back.
I mean, an hour into it, I was convinced I'd been watching it for about a week.
Didn't it feel like that? Didn't it feel like it felt so long? It felt like a fucking Oliver Stone epic. It felt like twice the length of Any Given Sunday.
Oh, it was so shit.
It is not Any Given Sunday.
The main character is not really Gerard Butler. It's Gerard Butler's penis.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend that much time with that thing.
I cannot wait for Soccer Dog 2 European Cup. I really cannot wait.
Yeah. Is that what we're doing next?
No, we're not doing that next.
What are we doing next?
What we are doing next is a film by Michael Corriente, produced in 1999, released in 2002, starring Robert Duvall and Ally McCoist. A shot
now
of glory.
Now
that's what
talking.
We're going to be doing next week. Another Scottish footballer, whoever wants to fuck.
Oh yeah, I just realised that might be too similar to playing for keeps.
Yeah, but Ally McCoist is he's a charming man. He's a very, very nice man. So I've got
very
no
charming
beef with
that. Very charming.
Yeah, I think that look, I'm not. You know, none of us are Mark. Mark Lamar. None of us are Mark Kermode. I think we've established that. But I do think, in Gerard Butler's case, if you are going to call yourself an actor and you are going to keep doing this, at some point you need to have done a watchable film. I've never seen him in a film that was anything other than complete shit. So I think he's taken the piss a bit. Whereas Super Ally McCoist, he knows what he's good at. I'm sure this will be much better. And Robert Duvall's a legend, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Michael Keaton's in this one, apparently.
Is he?
I should say that Playing for Keeps got 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's generous.
Yeah. Look, that is exactly what we should be looking at. It's no fun. Oh, let's watch the Zidane documentary, Maradona documentary.
No,
boring.
I'm not interested in that.
Let's have Gerard Butler.
Yeah, you're talking.
And some horny mums. That's what we need. The thing that gets me is like he was in Soccer Aid in 2012 because Marcus checked out the date. I don't know whether they used the footage for this film of him playing in Soccer Aid or it was a promotional thing that he played in Soccer Aid to promote the film. Either way, both projects unsuccessful, I would say.
But Butler does look like he could play. He does look like a footballer. Mm. Whereas the lad who plays Santiago Munez,
he's terrible, yeah.
Doesn't pass, does he?
No, he doesn't pass. He's too many stepovers. Butler, back of the net, lovely old job.
Yeah, Butler looks like he can strike the ball properly. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
An old-fashioned British centre-forward.
Yeah. You're damn right, Jim. That's what the game's been missing. He's got that winning mentality, just like Graeme Souness. Well, there we are. That was Pete's Film Club, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think it's going to get any better than that, but tune in next week to find out what we thought of A Shot at Glory. That's the name of the film. Yeah. Marvellous.
A Shot of Scotch.
That's what Ali probably thought it was called. Why he signed up to it.
Oh dear, well there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jules and Andy are back tomorrow, of course. Well, there we are, gentlemen. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
And thank you, Gerard Butler. We'll see you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.